Hello and welcome to the graduate series of the Charity Freelancer podcast, a special series where I give recent graduates from Glasgow Caledonian University a chance to let their personality shine as they embark into the creative industries. In this episode, I am joined by Cameron Hunter. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me. This is great.
I know, it's so funny because you've probably heard and not seen yeah. what it's like in here, but it's dead cosy, it's dead nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
But how are you? How are you feeling after graduating? What's been happening?
Like a weight is off my shoulders, I think. But yeah, I think there's still like a wee bit of pressure waiting for results and stuff. But yeah, it's good but sad as well at the same time. So
quick 2 years I felt when I'd done it. Just to give listeners context, I did the exact same course 2 years ago and actually did a graduate series last year as well. So this is the second year that we're doing it. And I've given Cameron a choice of questions and he's picked five out that we're gonna ask him. But no, I totally get what you're saying. Like it is sad because it's like you've been in this routine for 2 years and then it's gonna suddenly end.
Yeah. It's a weird feeling. It's just like you're so used to seeing the same people like every week and then now you're not seeing them. Like,
yeah.
Or you will see them occasionally, but not every week. It's weird, but
because it comes, because especially like when I was really sad about was not seeing Helen a lot because I love Helen and David and Mary. Like I remember thinking, I'm really going to miss seeing Helen.
To be fair, I think I email Helen about once a day. Like just
so she'll be buzzing to see the back of you.
I'm just dropping in being like, so how's things? How's everything doing, Helen? And she's like, oh my God, leave me alone.
I love that. It was just so easy to talk to. That's but great. Yeah, so my first question for you, let's just get fucking stuck right into it. So tell me about a project where you were happiest and most proudest of and why were you proud of it? Because I know from experience there's a fucking heck of a lot of projects that you do in these 2 years. So what was your most proudest?
Well, there's actually like two I'd like to touch on, but I'll quickly do it. So we had a project with hydrogen, and this was more of a, it kind of changed the way I looked at what I wanted to do with design.
Oh,
so
interesting.
It was a team project, and thankfully I got to work with Mirren and Martina in a foreign exchange student called Alexander. And I didn't really ever see myself as being like a leader or team member, like working well. I wanted to be individual. And after that project, like working with especially Martina and Mirren, I was like, these guys are working really well and why am I not doing the same? Like it was the way they were working was the way they laid out and done their research. I was like, this is amazing. This is so good what you guys are doing. And it elevated me to be better. And after that point, I think the full class kind of gelled from that project. So we all started to become closer and it opened up the full room. And like we then went and presented as a team and to have, like, had this sense of like pride of,
yeah.
I remember standing out in the streets in Glasgow after it going, we've won this project. We've done the best project that they've ever seen. Like the feedback we got was so good. We came third. but I just remember being so like bowled over with pride for working with these two people that obviously are designers. Alexander was from a different course, but he was also great. And I just was like, this is maybe something that I want to do. Like I was so happy for them, like not really about myself, but like so happy that we got to work together. And if I could touch on another one, we done creative practice this year and I got to tell a very emotional story about mental health and used a song from a band that I will never get to show because they've never got back to me about using this song in the video. So,
oh no.
But that was great. Like I had that idea from, I think, the start of third year to do this. I heard that song and I instantly thought about this video.
And I was like,
I want to do this. And creative practice came up and I was like, let's go and do it. Let's animate some characters. And yeah, to watch that and to show it. And Bruce was the person that's presenting it to.
Yeah.
And I love Bruce, but like, it's quite an intimidating figure at times. And I just was like, I'm so proud of even seeing it on the screen. I was like, at the end, every time I always go, I like get catches at the back of your throat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is exactly what I wanted to do with it. And I look back at it and I go, I could maybe improve a wee bit here and there, but I was so proud of it.
Yeah. So what was it? Like a motion graphics animation? Amazing. Is that something that you enjoyed in?
Yeah. So emotions, like, the thing I would like to do the most, like obviously I really like working in social media and just branding in general, but telling a story or like hearing somebody's idea of what they want from something and bringing it to life, like in that motion style or especially emotional impact, is something that I would like to do. And something that I'd like to bring to life for more projects in the future.
Yeah, it sounds as well that you are a bit of a team player. Like, it sounds like you enjoy working with other people.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the... I think to have the environment that you get in university, like, especially in the digital design courses, is so good. And I think it's a thing I'll chase for the rest of my career, like, to work with people that are just so inspiring. Like, I was... Every day I would sit and I would chat away to people and they'd be like, why are you, you're chatting to me for far too long? And I'm like, I know, but show me what you're doing. Like, tell me
I'm
what
curious.
You're up to. And you would just, even people that were doing UI UX and you're going, that's awesome the way that you're thinking about that. And then I can maybe take that and think about it the same for what I'm doing for a motion graphic or a poster designer or anything. And it's just, they were all great. There wasn't really anybody in my class that I could think of that I didn't take something from, and and I think that's always wanted to raise my bar to be to be with them, and I'm a bit worried because I'm a wee bit older, and they've got tons of room to grow. Like, they'll just catch me up and then continue going past me.
You got loads of time. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Retirement home next. Maybe.
Oh no, because I was an older. I felt like an older student when I was there as well. Yeah. I was in my sort of mid to like 20s, and everyone. Most of the people there were like kind of just came from school or like they're just like early 20s, late teens. And I'm like, I feel like I'm a bit of an imposter. But I think actually I'm glad that I came back as an older student.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I totally had a different perspective and different priorities as well coming back as an older student. So I'm totally with you on that. But kind of flipping the switch then, you've talked about your proudest project, but what was the biggest mistake you made and what did you learn from it?
It was the first project, first one. So it's web design fundamentals. And Ian, who took the class, a brilliant guy. Like, absolutely love Ian. And we handed in the first bit. It was the first thing we handed in. And I came back and I got a pretty, no, it wasn't bad, but it was, I wanted like a first, I got 2-1. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I remember like listening. I was trying to listen. I didn't know anything about web design. And then Ian said, just do one mock-up and it'll be fine. And I didn't read the marking scheme for it.
Yeah.
And it was minimum one mark. Like, it wasn't like, you could do as many as you wanted. Then I just done one mock-up and then he marked me down for. And that was where the most of the marks came from. And I was like, oh man, like, why didn't I just read the marking scheme? So after that point, I just listened to everything that Ian said. And I read everything that he put out. And I joined every Monday class. And then from there, every class that we went into, if there was anything extra that you could do, I went to it, and I just was like, I'm making sure that I absorb everything that I could. Like, it was I just remember, because you went to college before, and you were just so used to getting, like A's, and there wouldn't really ever be that much of a struggle at college when you look back, and then when you come in, you go, whoa, what's happening here? Why am I not just right at the top again?
It's a reality check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so different, but it definitely, if it wasn't for that, then it would have been, maybe I would have changed the way I looked at like uni.
First,
it was just a first mistake, but I was able to recover. But yeah, it was definitely daunting. I was just looking at my, I was like, do you know when you're hiding your phone going, I don't want anyone to see that. I'm so embarrassed. Like, everyone's looking, I'm sitting right in the front. I was like, everyone's looking over my shoulder. Like, I was like, nobody cares. Like,
I know, because they're probably thinking the same.
That would be like, in my head, like the biggest mistake. There's obviously like wee things, like through presentations, like even the last one that we done, Scoot came in and I got on really well with at least Scott and Nikki, who were both in. And I think it was just because I was wrapped too much in honours and I just didn't put enough time into to Scoot. And I just was standing there going, I'm so tired. I only had like 2 hours sleep. I'd stayed up like all night to do like honours.
Oh,
and I was like, this is just not the level of which I would want to present in front of somebody. So it was always the case of whenever anybody came in, I was like, you know what, you never know when this is going to come back to benefit you in the future. So yeah, that maybe two mistakes. I'm still learning from the Scoot one maybe, but the first one was just always be listening.
Check the marking scheme.
Check the marking scheme and just always listen to what's going on and don't just take things verbatim, like is what they're said. I don't know, I've never said verbatim before in my life, but yeah,
there we go. So fancy.
Word of the day. That one especially, like, again, maybe another lesson was like comparison, and I was sitting next to a guy, and he's a brilliant designer. I'm not going to mention who it actually is, but he looked like he designed the Apple website, and yeah. I was going, I've got like flowers in the background of mine. It looks rubbish. He designed Apple, and then I ended up getting like I don't know if I got a better mark, but I remember just like him getting really upset about the not really up. He wasn't like in tears, but just being disappointed about it. And then I was like, yeah, don't compare yourself. Just do your own thing and see what happens. But yeah, and he's brilliant after it. So I think he obviously learned from it as well. But
yeah, I love it. I love it. So the next question that I've got for you is: what inspires you to design, Cameron? Big question.
It's a big question. I don't know why I picked it. it's change. Like, we've done the Design for Change module, and I was, it's every time that I want to design something, I want it to affect, like, benefit somebody. Like, and there will be, like, projects where it'll just be, like, a food website or something like that, or a food advert, and you'll be like, this is just benefiting hunger. But, like, it's, I always wanted to do something that when I was talking about, like, tell somebody in that creative practice module, like, it's something that even if it affects one person, then it's doing a beneficial thing to somebody somewhere. But yeah, it's, I don't know, anything that I can do, especially emotionally, like if I can tie into like an emotional thing, I think I'm more driven to that project than I am to, it doesn't need to be something that I'm interested in, but as long as there's an emotional background to it, then I'm like, yeah, let's go and do this and bring this to life, and hopefully somebody somewhere gets what they need from this, and we can do it. But yeah, and I think that's what I was talking about when we're talking about the creative practice module. I was even showing it to Helen, and Helen, like at the end, kind of just went, oh, that was great. I was like,
single to you.
Like, you don't really ever want to make anybody cry, but you want people to feel impacted by something. And
yeah,
I think anything, like even with Design for Change, we've done a project about bringing a symbol for like fossil fuels, and it's even just with that, it's giving people a reason to get out and do something, do something different. We had the brilliant Richard that was Richard Longmuir that was in with us, and he was just driving that project so well that I was like, yeah, we're doing something mega here. Like, this and it's, I think that's what I always want to drive towards, is something that's maybe going to change something for somebody, even if it's tiny, but something that can maybe make a difference to somebody.
Totally agree. I think that's like one of the biggest ultimate powers of design, is the power to just change someone's mind or make someone feel a certain way. And that's a really good inspiration to have, because I feel like it's always at the heart of design. It's just like, you're designing for, sometimes you just design for yourself, right? Sometimes you're fancy just doing something cheeky for yourself, and you just want to get your creative juices flowing. But most of the time, the work, the actual physical work that you do, it is for a user.
Yeah.
So you're gonna, it has to all come back to emotional design and interactive design and everything like that. So I love that.
Yeah.
That is your inspiration. What has been your highlight from your university experience?
It's probably was speaking at the Caledonia Creates thing. I mean, I don't know why I had to go last. I was sitting like a ball of nerves the whole day. And everyone was like, well done to everybody. And I was going, yeah, great. I'm still to go. And I'm like sweating buckets. Like, what's happening?
Because it's quite a long lineup. You can have to wait a wee while.
And it, like, when it got announced, I kept saying to everybody, I'm the co-main event. And I just kept going, I'm the headliner. I've sold all the tickets. But yeah, it was, and I remember standing up, and I was like, just everyone stood up at the event. And when they were coming up, everyone was clapping. And I stood up, and I was like, paused for the applause. Nothing happened. And I just went, are we not going to applaud? I was just like, I've had this awkward pause, and it looks like I'm frozen, but I'm just waiting for you guys to applaud me. And I was like, oh no, that's a horrible way to start. Like, it was just like such a, like, I don't know, I felt like a wee bit cocky to be like, applaud me. Give me the affection that I need. But no, it was great. And obviously I felt nervous, but nerves are good. And it was such a, but after it, just, I hadn't really eaten that day because I was quite nervous. So I had a couple of beers, and it was like maybe two or three, and I was screaming the lyrics to you two at some point. Like, and I was just like, one of the boys was like, are you already drunk? And I'm like, I just think it's just relief is taking over. Like,
I'm your body's like good about it, just like totally relaxed and let the toxins flow.
But no, that was great. And I think in as well, we were talking about Helen and Dave and stuff, but them to have their trust in me to go last, I was like, this is quite an honour to feel that. Like, there probably isn't much thinking that goes into it, but I was like, that's really nice that they put me on last. They thought I could deal with the pressure for longest. Yeah. And I'm really hoping I did. But
yeah, you did.
It was really good. And I'm glad that I said yes to doing it, because I was on the fence about doing it for so long.
Yeah, so give us some context then for any listeners that, or any students who don't really know what that event is.
So it's a mix of, like, obviously students going up there and talking about their honours projects. Mm-hmm. So we would go up and talk about where we started our thinking process to where we are the now. Mm-hmm. Or in Zoe's case, Zoe had finished her project, so made us all look rubbish. And then also we had some industry speakers like yourself that came up and talked to us through their careers. And it's just a great day. Like, it's great to pick brains of people that are working out there and for you to also showcase what you can do as well. So it's brilliant. A great platform. And
it's such a good venue this year as well. Yeah, it's really Civic House is brilliant. And yeah. I got, what did I get? I don't know. I got something to eat and it was like one of the best things I've ever ate in my life. Yeah. But the food was really good.
I think it's all like really healthy as well.
It's like vegan, isn't it? I was really bloody. I think it was like a harissa bean soup with like a big bit of sourdough bread. And I was like, oh. Was
well, see, if I was on first like yourself, Chloe, then maybe I would have had some food. But no, no.
Don't want to be sick.
I was cacking myself in the car. No, this is horrendous.
But no, yeah, no, that's a very good thing to pick out, is something to be a highlight, because that was similar to me. Like, we did ours over, it was virtual, so we didn't even do ours in a physical space. And I went last in mine as well. And it was like, oh God, just sitting there listening to everybody. And I was like, get this done over and done with. And then it was great. It was so, after it, I felt so elated, and it was just like, oh man. And then the questions that were getting asked were brilliant. And so I totally resonate with you on that one, because it's a good feeling.
A different level of pressure though, like presenting online. Like, I think it's just, you're just sitting there and
you can't see anyone.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't miss it at all. Like, I'm so glad to be in person.
It's funny that, isn't it? That in person is actually less nerve-wracking. Like, standing out in front of a room, for me anyway, is much easier than sharing your screen on a laptop. And like, you can't read the room. You don't know what everyone's thinking. But folk are probably fucked off to go get a tea or something. You're sitting there talking.
I know. But they've got it on their phone. Just doing whatever they want.
Yeah, not interesting. I'm kidding. But the last question then is, what is your biggest aspiration as a designer?
I've kind of touched on it before, but it's really just to work with great designers. And I feel like I've got a flair for it. There's so many people in the class that I'm like, I think I'll spend the rest of my career. Maybe that's the end of my career. I'll spend the rest of my career trying to find a way to work with these people again and keep in contact with, like, we went to a few events, like the GAB event.
I seen that. He's with the recent one.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's a long story.
Sorry.
It's a long story. I didn't get to go. But we went previously, and it was, I can't remember his name, Collins. He presented. And I was like, I want to be at a point where I'm on this stage, and but I'm talking about the great designers I work with. I think it's a collaborative thing. I always want to be, like, obviously you want to do things for yourself and pick up yourself a wee bit, but like, to give people a platform and to do things with people, I think is, the experience shared is better than just doing it yourself and standing by yourself. And there's so many people that in this year especially, I was like, yeah, I want to work with you again, and I want to figure out a way that we can make some money and have some fun. But that would be my aspiration, would be to do something like that and to be able to stand. We obviously went, well, I say we obviously as if you know what I've been up to in my life, but we went up to the Barcelona, like the off event.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So many people that stood up there and were talking about their teams and like the way they work, and I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I want to go into an office every day and sit and have, like, we watched a presentation called Arts and Craft, and they were like, oh, every day we go in and we have an hour, like, as they call it, like, free time, and they work on, like, a passion project. And
cool.
They're releasing, like, a movie this year. Like,
cool!
And I'm like, That'd be brilliant. Imagine that's going like, in and you're like, but the first hour of our day is passion project, and you're just like, I mean, it makes it sound like you're in primary school again, and you're like, this is golden time, and we're gonna go in. But yeah, to work with people and have a good team of people around you was always probably the end goal.
Absolutely. So you said that you're like outside the podcast, you're in full-time work now. Is that a design role, or is that something else? Or
it's a design role, so I work for a law firm, and I just do their design work, so flyers and videos and all sorts. So yeah, it's definitely different than what we've done in uni. I feel like it's a completely different task. Like obviously turnover's quicker than you don't get your nice comfortable.
Don't get 12 weeks.
I'm like, where's that project? I'm still in the research phase. I'm still putting together the research.
They're like, why are you doing research?
So just doing a wee bit of full time with them just now.
Cool.
But it's really good. I've got a nice team that we're with, and we're in the marketing team. So it's a wee bit, it's different to people's outlooks for marketing. It's different than design work. So it's fun. It's definitely like rewarding in its own way. So.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And it's so good that you've got that, like, as soon as you've graduated. Because were you working there part-time whilst you were at uni?
Yeah, throughout, yeah. So actually, there was two designers. So Sean Kelly was in the year above me.
Yes, yeah.
So he was actually my mentor as well, which is so funny. That like, so we ended up getting the job, and that was the only... He was never in. He never came into uni at all. And that was the only time I ever got to see him. But, to work with him as well, he was quite... He changed the way I thought about... So you just like InDesign, I don't really ever use InDesign for my work, but other than that, I really haven't ever touched at it. But he kind of taught me a wee bit more about that, and it's definitely opened more design paths that I didn't ever think that I was going to use.
Amazing.
Like print work and stuff like that. But yeah, that was good.
Amazing. I'm enjoying it. Oh, I'm so excited for you. It sounds like you've got a good head on your shoulders. You've got good intentions. Sounds like your ma. Got a good head on your shoulders, son. But no, thank you so much. And before we wrap things off, the most ultimate question before you go, Cameron, is what is your movie of the week and the tastiest pie you've ever had?
Oh, are we talking just movie of the week, or are we talking...
You can do whatever ever? With. I like to just keep it... Ooh. If you've watched one recently, or if it's one you just really want to talk about?
Do you know, like, I would say always my favourite films, and I'm just going to lump them all together, it's the Lord of the Rings films.
Yeah.
Love Lord of the Rings. But if you're talking about most recent, and I'm going to talk about it because I'm so happy that they're back, the resurgence of the rom-com is a big thing. And I went to see The Fall Guy the other...
Was it good?
I loved it. But I love, like, it's the guy from Top Gun Maverick, I call him the really handsome man, but I can't remember what his name is.
The one
who was in that one with Sydney Sweeney at the turn of the year.
Yes, but I don't know his name.
But I'm saying single-handedly, I think he's bringing the rom-com back, and I'm like, he's needed it for a long time. We need a rom-com. Like, who doesn't love a rom-com? So I would go with The Fall Guy for most recent, but Lord of the Rings overall.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, obviously the most notorious rom-com.
Of course. Like, that's what that genre
is. Sam and Frodo, like, it's a rom-com and a half. But,
I love The Lord of the Rings. My mum was obsessed with Lord of the Rings, so I watched a lot of it when I was growing up. And do you know what it is? It's the soundtrack.
Oh.
The soundtrack, it's actually stunning. I could just sit and listen to that.
It's even in the third one when... The Riders of Rohan appear. Oh, I'm almost goosebumps. In tears every time. Like, it was only recently I've watched them about 100 times where I realised they're shouting death, and I thought they were just shouting like
something.
Hey. I realised they're all charging to their death, and I was like, I thought they were just like
hey,
let's do this.
War.
Let's get in there, boys. Come on, let's go.
It's like death.
sorry, I've went on far too long, but pie one, like, so years ago I went to watch a game at Kilmarnock Stadium, and they've got obviously the notorious Kelly Pie, but it was like the 20th or the 10th or some anniversary of the Kelly Pie, and I only got to try a bite of it. Right, it was my brother, he'd bought the pie, and it was called the Homecoming Pie.
What's that?
It was Homecoming Pie, but it was the Kelly Pie, but they just threw haggis in.
Oh, so it was game changer.
Every time, everything good about the Kelly Pie. Oh, you got haggis on top, and it was class. Or just, and it's going to sound so basic, but a store-bought mince round. So you like a, or like a chicken pie or something like that. So you one of those, like, just one you pop in the oven and mm-hmm. you just have a wee bit of like mash or beans or something like that with it. They're just always class. Like,
yeah. It's just a, yeah. Just oh my God. Thing. My nana used to get, that was her staple, was a mince round and like mashed hatty. But it was like, do you know, like the pack of like mashed potato and mashed turnip you would get out of Asda. It was just that.
Yeah.
But the mince round, it was like 2 minutes in the microwave, done.
Do you know, as well, like, I don't know if I always say this right, and I don't think anybody knows what sod's pies are. Do you know what sod's pies are?
Yes, my best friend's fiance works for Swords.
Yeah, so I'm at some point related to the people that do sod's pies.
What the fuck?
My dad's name is John Kelso Sod Hunter. Like, he's, I don't know why he's got so many names, but I'm at some point related to it. I think I've met them a few times, but like,
well, you should inherit pies.
Yeah, that's, maybe one day. But, I mean, I don't think we really keep in contact, but like, I always think like that should probably be my staple favourite to like win over the swords industry. Like, I'll just take over the pies if I just keep saying they're my favourite pies.
Yeah, but, yeah. And I'm also a designer, so if you need design work, let me know. That'd be my dream.
Yeah.
So, work for a pie company. Good choices.
Yeah.
Very good choices.
Hopefully. There's somebody somewhere judging me for like mince rounds.
If they are, I'm coming for you.
Leave your thoughts in the comments below. Let's
have it out. Do you love a mince round? Let's have it out. Oh, man. Before we head off, Cameron, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say anything you want to say about uni, about what's happening, like anything that you haven't asked you that you would like to mention.
Yeah, just every opportunity that appears, just take it. Mm-hmm. Just say yes. Like, I feel like I've approached the coming back as a mature student, I feel like I've approached it like Jim Carrey and Yes Man, and I've just said yes to everything. And at points where I'm like, I can't do this because I've got too much work on, but you still do it and you pull through and you take so much away from mm-hmm. all those. And just, and then speak to people, like, again, like Scott and Nikki, who were most recently in the Multiply, like girls that were both in, they were, you stand and chat to them and take opportunities. Like, I've never not benefited from saying hello or mm-hmm. telling a terrible joke to somebody. Like, it's it's always good, but...
Tell us a joke.
Oh, tell... Oh, you've put me in the
you
spot.
You said it now. Oh.
I don't have one off the cuff. Like, and now my head's trying... Because I do usually have, like, a couple of staples, but...
I love a cheesy joke.
I've got nothing.
Like, which cow is the one... What was it? What cow's on holiday?
Oh, no, the one with the wee calf. Yeah. Yeah, that's a classic.
That's a classic.
But that's just like, that's like, it's all like in my head and it's just bouncing around and I'm going, stick something together. I'm like, what did the kettle say? And I'm like, what's the kettle saying to anybody? Like, it's just like.
That's all right. But good, solid advice. Be a yes man, yes woman, or whatever it is. Say, take the opportunity to say yes. I totally agree with that. I did that, you know, stood me in good stead. Don't overcommit though, and don't burn yourself out. But definitely make the use of the industry people that come in, because they're constantly coming in, and it's so helpful.
We've got that. We've got another like kind of final year event on Wednesday, and see to they have the ability to send out emails to people and say, like, a few of my college lecturers are coming, and mm-hmm. like obviously a few people that have helped me along the way, and I'm like, that's great. Like, I feel so proud that everyone's like, yeah, I'll come and see you for a bit, and yeah, you know, like. If I didn't stay in contact or if I didn't have a conversation with somebody, then like you don't have that connection and you don't have that. Mm-hmm. And it was a great feeling the other day of just sending out a message saying, I would love for you to come. And then the amount of people that just instantly responded, and I'm going, this is so nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Like, it's nice, but you just don't really think about it. Like, but you would do the same for them, but it's just definitely just... Make sure you take the most, if an opportunity is in front of you, just jump at it and
mm-hmm. speak to people.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Your voice is going to break or something.
I know. Like, you forget a bad joke. Yeah, you tell a bad joke.
Definitely forget. Always have a joke up your sleeve, basically.
You never know when you're going to need one. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. Thanks, I really, really appreciate it. And good luck with everything that you're doing. Yeah. I'm excited to see what you get up to. So thanks so much, Cam, for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome.